It's going to have a chart of numbers on the top, and then on the bottom, it'll be a blue and red chart. This is going to be your total breakout of claims that have been spent and your total contributions, along with your loss ratio and the renewal rate change for the plan year specifically. It's just listed in different formats, so the top will be a chart and the bottom is just on a monthly basis. I will point out on this that over the last five plan years that y'all have had close to 94% loss ratio. And so what that means is that 94% we have paid less in claims than we have received from you all. Our break-even point is actually a 94%. That's where you want to be. And so that is a good thing. As you can see, the last 5 years, your renewal has been a 3.6%. That is pretty unheard of in the market when we're seeing double-digit increases. Did you have a question, Commissioner Sullivan?
Yes, ma'am. Just quick. It shows we've got 456 employees on page two.
Yes.
Is that current? Currently, we have 456
enrolled.
Enrolled on the plan, yes. So active.
Some employees that are enrolled in state insurance and do not take our insurance.
Correct.
So that number is, that's why these are just enrolled employees.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Good question. Any questions on the data as far as plan year? Again, y'all have averaged about a 3.6% renewal over the last 5 years. And last year, y'all received a 6.2%. So overall, looking pretty good when you compare that to the market. The next page is just going to go over some high-cost claimant data information that I won't break out too far. I do just want to let you know that you did have two claimants between $500,000 and $100,000, and then two claimants between $250,000 and $500,000. Right now, what we're seeing is that those claimants are leading the cost or the paid claims that we're seeing over the last 12 months. So that's kind of what's contributing to your loss ratio and that increase in claims costs that have been paid. Moving to the next page, you'll see just a quick history over the last 8 years of your renewals and your surplus distribution. Over the time that you have been with the TAC Health and Employee Benefits Pool, y'all have averaged a 6.6% renewal. So that is capturing, since y'all have been with the pool, it's been around a 6.6%. Our pool renewal average has been a 5%. So y'all are kind of trending almost in line there. And then also with the surplus distribution, what this is funds that we give back to the county. So if at the end of our year, we have a surplus or extra funds, as a not-for-profit association, we give that back to you all in the form of a surplus distribution. And so historically, over, you know, the time that the county has been with the pool, you all have received $474,000 back to where, you know, you can put that into general revenue wherever needed. Some of the other things that we factor in when we are setting your renewal is going to be your plan design. So that is also listed on this page as well. Any questions on that? Okay. The next page should be pretty bright and colorful. It kind of looks like this. This is just going to be membership. So this is going to have a breakout of employees, spouses, and dependents and those counts on them. So if you're curious how that is distributed, you'll find information on that there. We also break it out based off of gender, so female and male. Y'all are pretty even on the spread there. And then the average age is also listed. Moving to the next page, we'll go over major diagnostic categories. I'm not going to spend too much time on this one, but I will point out that neoplasms are going to be your top leading diagnostic category. So neoplasms are going to be your cancers. I will say with the pool, we're seeing high-cost cancers really driving our claims right now. And so y'all are in no different. We are also seeing number two, musculoskeletal, and then number three, which is digestive. And so you'll see that paid breakout there. Preventative screenings are also listed. Y'all have about 42% of your employees are receiving annual physicals. So good job there. You're almost at halfway, which is a really good thing. There was an increase in spouse and dependents who received annual physicals over the last 12 months as well. As we know, getting those preventative screenings are really, really important. So making sure that we're catching things early versus later on down the road is super important. And then on the right-hand side, you'll see Healthy County participation. Healthy County is our wellness program, so we have programs in place for chronic condition management, musculoskeletal injuries. We have a Teladoc service and lifestyle management programs. I am happy to report that all of the Healthy County wellness programs had an increase in those, and so that is a good thing. Employees are utilizing these programs, and as you know, the healthier you are, the lower the claims you have. So we want to make sure that we have awareness out there for these programs. Moving forward, you'll find information on chronic conditions. So the top three leading chronic conditions based off of cost are going to be hypertension, which is high blood pressure, hyperlipidemia, which is high cholesterol, and diabetes. These are your three top leading chronic conditions in the data so far. The next slide, you'll find emergency room utilization. To sum this one up, I will say that about you've had in the last 12 months, you've had around $625,000 that were spent in claims for emergency room utilization. Of that, around 30% of those visits to the emergency room were considered non-emergent, which meant individuals could have gone to another level of care, maybe an urgent care clinic, primary care physician, or an on-the-phone doctor. So it's important to keep that in mind. We do have some room for education there.
County Health Clinic.
And then, sorry, y'all, my internet went out. And then the next page is going to be your, your prescription coverage. So currently what we're seeing is at your number one, we are seeing anti-diabetics in your top costly category for prescription coverage. So sitting at around $592,000. Keep in mind, we are only covering these anti-diabetic medications for individuals who are diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. So there is no medications being approved on the plan for the quick fix weight loss or anything like that.
Ask what an anti-diabetic is. The weight loss drug, we just say that.
Yeah, the weight loss drug or what you've seen out there, the Ozempic, the Mounjaros, the medications that are related to that. Those are only going to be prescribed and paid out for individuals with a type 2 diagnosis. I will say that as new-to-market drugs become available and as the cost of medications fluctuate in the market, you will see our formulary, our list of medications change. So, for example, this year, one of those hot items or one of the discussions was related to Mounjaro, which is a anti-diabetic medication that was previously not on our formulary. Mounjaro saw that Ozempic was being covered, a comparable medication. Ozempic was being covered on the formulary and Mounjaro was not being covered. And so what they did is Mounjaro brought their cost down $800 to meet very close to what Ozempic is and allowed employees to utilize that medication. And so that kind of gives you a perspective in the market of how these drugs can fluctuate their cost.
They're not overpriced, are they?
No comment on that. But that kind of gives you a perspective. If there ever is a change, we are constantly monitoring that. We want to make sure that employees are led to the lowest net cost medications for the same chemical equivalent medication as well. Any questions on that?
No, we did ask her to cover that kind of specifically just so that it would clear up the deal that we are not covering those medications just for weight loss.
Right. Yes. And it,
you got to have a condition.
Yeah, you do. And just to give y'all a perspective, these medications cost around $1,300 on average every month. So you can only imagine if we were opening the gates and allowing individuals to cover these medications for weight loss, we would have really, really high pharmacy costs. We are also seeing in the data that these individuals are having to continue to take these medications for weight loss as a maintenance precaution. And so while it is a quick fix, they're continuing to have to be on this medication, maybe a lower dose, but there's still cost associated for that. So the pool cannot sustain that cost. I know that at the county level probably can't either. And so these are why we have some of these measures in place, is to monitor that and make sure that employees and their dependents are only getting that for the actual true type 2 diabetics diagnosis. Moving forward, you'll find dental screenings. You have about half of your total members seeking dental screenings. I think there's room for improvement there. Alliance Work Partners, this is our employee assistance program that provides counseling sessions, will writing, work-life balance, tools. There is some utilization numbers there for you. It is low utilization, but I would say this is across the board for a lot of our pool members. Employees don't necessarily utilize the EAP as much. So it is a good reminder for your employees, just to remind them about the employee assistance program that we do have out there. Lastly, we do reward you guys for the Healthy County participation that y'all have. And so with this, y'all are eligible for $9,000 every year. This last year, you all received a check in January or February for 2025 in the amount of $3,690. And the way that you can earn that $9,000 is by employees participating in the wellness platform, providing wellness workshops throughout the year, and y'all currently have a county-specific incentive in place, so an employee must receive that annual physical. And so y'all are getting a good portion of your employer rewards there. Of course, this is to promote wellness back in the workplace. So that might mean paying for lunch for one of the wellness workshops with these dollars, or maybe buying some gym equipment for an area so employees can utilize that. Kind of brainstorming to see where you can use those funds. Lastly is going to be your cost containment strategy. So this is going to give you a little bit more information on some of the programs that I talked about early on. So we want to make sure Tasha Brent is your wellness consultant. She's in another county today. But she is available to come out and educate employees on some of the wellness programs that we do have in place. And so that is her number one recommendation, is just getting out here, educating employees about some of the programs that we do have, and then increasing promotion in Teladoc and Arosti. So that is something we'll talk about with Lori's office to get them out here, increase education in those programs so employees are aware and managing their conditions. I've also included a timeline for the renewals, so that is going to be coming out at the end of May. I think our tentative date is May 22nd, and it'll be due back to us on June 26th. So about a month to get that on the commissioner's court. If y'all need any changes, alternative plan designs, anything like that, Haley is more than happy to generate those alternates for y'all, have those discussions with you, and, you know, get you any information that you need.
Laura, did you visit with them about possibly what we talked about on the two different insurances, with the dental and the life insurance?
Life insurance, yeah, we're going to discuss it.
Any other questions? I know it's a lot of information, but try to give you all the high level of how the plan's performing. Let me give you real quick one other perspective of how the pool is actually performing. We have our own loss ratio, so we're sitting at around 103% right now as well. 101, 103%. And so what we're seeing in the market right now, we're seeing double-digit trend numbers. Anywhere from 13 to 18% is what we're hearing. Blue Cross actually came out, and their average for their small book of business is a 15%. Trend out there is the cost of medical and prescription inflation. Inflation is everywhere these days, and medical and prescriptions are no different. So I will say this is going to be a tough year for the pool, and I would expect that the pool needed amount or our average could possibly be a double digit this year. So just want to prepare you for the renewal discussions that we will be having later in May. Any questions?
Love insurance companies.
TAC is not an insurance company.
No, y'all. Not y'all.
I'm just kidding.
Who y'all are having to deal with. Believe me, we understand where
yes,
the problem
is. Yes, I know.
We think the world understands hard. The problem is. The world just can't figure out how to do it.
Yes, that's hard. Well, we thank you all so much for the opportunity to come out, and have a great day.
Thank you.
It was a thank you, and like I said, that was our mid-year. We actually met with them earlier, went over all of this stuff in a little bit more detail that y'all probably didn't want to have to sit in here and listen to for an hour and a half. So, but we will have them back and then as we get closer to our actual number so we can use for our budgetary process. All right. Well, thank you. Anybody else have any other questions or any other comments or anything at this point? And y'all can leave. Y'all can stay. The rest of the meeting be great. Whatever y'all want to do.
Thank you all so much.
Thank you. All right. Item number four, discussion and possible action to authorize the addition of the district clerk, the county clerk, and other designated personnel to be custodial account managers for investing court-blocked minor fund accounts at First Financial Bank on behalf of their respective offices. And also, this would also include auditor access to those accounts as well for auditing purposes. So we've got the signature pages we got to get, and if you also approve that.
Nice. Motion approved.
Motion by three.
Second.
Second by two. Further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Some background music when we're waiting on go through these signatures.
Like Jeopardy.
Lots of signatures. Thank you, sir. All right. Item number five, discussion and possible action regarding approval of the monthly reports from the county treasurer for month ending March 31st, 2026, and recording in the minutes of the court. A, approval of investments in the amount of $5,407,239.64. B, approval of interest earned to date in the amount of $958,315.48. C, treasurer's report of revenues received and disbursed in accordance with local government code 114.026, an affidavit of approval by the court. This report will be available on the county's website for viewing. And D, pledged security collateral for a total of $21,522,190.75. Summary as follows. Wells Fargo Bank, $14,565,201.82. And First Financial Bank, $6,956,988.93. And anything else you would like to add to that, Ms. Christie?
Motion.
Okay. You need a motion?
So moved.
Motion by one.
Second.
Second by four. Any further discussion?
The bank depository contract, did we get that finalized, signed?
I'm having an issue with the contract.
Ma'am?
I'm having an issue with the contract. We can discuss it in closed session if you like.
You probably
sounds
good.
Short answer.
Do we
want to
go into closed session?
Short answer. No.
If you want to have a more detailed discussion, I can speak with you privately, or we can go into a closed session at another time.
Okay.
Closed session sounds good.
All right. So, a motion by one, second by four. All in favor?
All right.
Any opposed? Or we can certainly schedule something.
Yeah, I think we put it to a closed session so we all are here at the same time.
You want to go to find the second one?
Oh,
yeah,
Saturday. Okay.
I didn't
do it. Okay. Item number six, discussion and possible action regarding filing the minutes of the court. The county treasurer's quarterly investment report is required by HB 2459, Public Funds Investment Act. This report is for the quarter ending March 31st, 2026, and will be available for viewing on the county's website. Anything else you would like to add to that, Ms. Christie?
No, sir, that's just the report showing how the whole quarter.
Motion by three.
Second.
Second by two. Any further discussion? All in favor? Any opposed? Item number seven, discussion and possible action regarding filing in the minutes of court a direct deposit from the State Comptroller of Public Accounts in the amount of $554,942.62. These funds represent the half-cent sales and use allocation for the month of February 2026 and have been credited to the General Operating Fund. Motion by one.
Second
by three. Any further discussion?
Everybody's noticing that's considerably less than this time last year.
Did we remember why?
Yeah, the $2,600,000 check.
To that point, the judge was he asked numerous times to find out why the payment was so high last year. Never got any response.
Well, yeah, we did. It was not real detailed, but it was.
Yeah, they wouldn't break it down.
It was an out-of-county company that construction company here in the county that accrued some taxes or something that was delivered or shipped or whatever that might have only been there for a month, 2 months. And it was like a one time.
And they would not give us the breakdown.
Yeah, I mean, we had to go into more requests if you wanted, like the company name and all that.
It's not something we're going to be seeing continuously.
No. That was a one shot.
And it did kind of filter off a little bit to the next month.
It was only a million and some change.
Yeah, to that point,
illustrates why it's so hard to predict sales tax. Mm-hmm.
And that was when, you know, that was coming up with, you know, Chevron, and I think energy was going on, and there was a lot of stuff that was starting up at that time. So.
And
it could have been any of the above.
Yeah. And in addition to that, there was also they do audits on the sales tax as well. And so part of the, this is down from what it would have normally been by almost $68,000 because there was a audit finding to the favor of an entity. So it, to your point, it's very hard to predict what you're going to get with sales
very,
tax.
Very much. Anyway, motion by one, second by three. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Item number 8, acknowledgement for the recording in the minutes, payment of bills approved by the county auditor for April 7th, 2026. Ms. Penny?
From the general fund, $15,578.04. Adult probation, $1,849.51. For a total payment of $17,427.55.
Second.
I have a motion by one, a second by two. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Item number 9, discussion and possible action regarding payment of April 14th, 2026 bills approved by the county auditor as per attested listings and also specifically as follows. A, $21,652.83 from the general fund 001-111-54235 to UTMB for contract payment due April 2026. B, $20,000 from the general fund 001-111-54105 to Patillo, Brown, and Hill for the 2025 annual audit billing. And as listed, Ms. Penny?
From the general fund, $412,702.75. Road and Bridge, $143,477.05. Mosquito Control, $5,496.41. Adult Probation, $4,542.77. Airport, $3,866.30. For a total payment of $570,085.28.
Motion by one, second by three. Any further discussion? All in favor? Any opposed? All right. Item number 10. Discussion. I'm jumping way ahead. Discussion and possible action regarding receiving county auditor's monthly financial reports. Ms. Penny?
Y'all have that in front of you if you have any questions. It's right on track with prior months.
Questions or concerns? If not, I'll take approval to accept. Motion by two.
Second
by one. Further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Item number 11, discussion and possible action regarding adoption of a special budget as certified by the county auditor pursuant to local government code 111.0106 to recognize established operating budgets for the funds received from the Gulf of Mexico Energy Security Act, GOMESA, in excess of fiscal year budgeted amount, revenues of 089,000,468,30, GOMESA Coastal Conservation revenue of $191,125.23, onto expenses of 089,841,53001, GOMESA expenditures of $191,125.23. Anything else you want to add on that, Ms. Penny?
No, this was just it was an increase. Mm-hmm. This was the increase of what we had already budgeted as an estimate from the prior.
What did we budgeted originally?
It was 60.
I'm trying to remember.
67.
Yeah.
So I'll have to look. I'll get you the correct number.
We were anticipating that to start dropping, weren't we?
At some point it will. It hasn't yet. It's actually continued
right.
to
this,
increase.
This was actually an increase.
Yeah.
Right. I estimated
we got more money in the deal because we never know what the amount is until they do their formulation of, you know, of the damages and all the things that BP has to do because that's where that comes from. All right. Need a motion to accept. A motion by two. Second by three. Any further discussion? All in favor? Item number 12, discussion and possible action regarding adoption of a special budget as certified by the county auditor pursuant to local government code 111.0106 to recognize established operating budgets for the funds received from the opioid settlement distribution program in excess of fiscal year budgeted amount. Revenue 037-000-46203, opioid settlement of $53,283.43. Expenses 037-827-53000, opioid fund expenses of $53,283.43. Similar to item above, it came in more than what we had budgeted.
This is actually, we did not budget for the year because this is not at a, it hasn't been recurring long enough that we really know what we're going to get from the settlement year after year. And so this was the settlement amount for this year.
So moved.
Motion by two.
Second.
Second by one. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Oh, I saw the law enforcement eyes light up whenever they saw it.
Yeah.
Item number 13, discussion and possible action to acknowledge and accept updates to the Orange County travel policy as presented by the county auditor. Ms. Penny, I think she sent all those changes to y'all with the updates and stuff we had. Y'all saw anything on there that you needed to?
Judge, Commissioners, with this, there were only a couple of things that in the workshop that were still kind of hanging out there as undecided, and I wanted to make sure that they were acknowledged prior to the acceptance of the entire travel policy. That was, there was a question on wording for elected officials and a limitation on travel in the policy. What I did was looked at that local government code, decided that the travel policy is not the best place for that to be addressed. I would encourage, and I'll send out to y'all if you so choose, to do a separate order and resolution for the limitation of elected officials after they do not either get, they lose the primary election or they decide not to run, then it is up to y'all within the local government code to limit the amount on a specific, on the accounts, and do so with that, with an order that's separate from the travel policy.
Separate policy?
Yes, yes.
Because there will only be 3 months in that budget for that official.
Correct. Correct. The second item was a proposed change for, A, we are making notice in the travel policy that we do not pay for meals when there is travel on a not overnight travel. That is in line with the IRS. It has been requested to do a proposed change for a special provision for law enforcement and probationary travel, namely for transport. So the wording I put in there for y'all, I hope if y'all would look over that and read, it's was basically for to allow for a meal to be reimbursed to officers on active transport, when the transport officers to be allowed up to a reimbursement of up to a total of $25 for meals during a day travel, when that travel exceeds 50 miles from duty station and the total transport trip is in excess of 6 consecutive hours, and the person in custody is physically present at the time of the meal and is also receiving a meal. So basically they're working while that they are having their meal. But this is to y'all so choosing.
And
it
that
was just
go through the treasurer's office as, because because it has to have the benefits and stuff applied
yes,
to that.
Yes, it would be.
It is a benefit we are supplying to those.
I got clarity from you.
Okay. Yes. So itemized receipts, it would be a meal reimbursement. They would have to pay for the meal, and it would be reimbursed, and it does have to be reimbursed through payroll because it would then, at the end of the year, it'd have to be on the W-2. Yeah.
Chief, is that clear as mud to you?
Pretty clear. I think that was what we were asking for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we just had to find a way that we or make sure that we were doing it the legal way, and with the benefit side is what throws it. But so I think we're in good shape.
And just for clarity's sake, so if a transport officer goes and buys a $10 lunch, turns in his receipt for that, he's not going to get $10 back.
No, he won't get because his benefits and stuff will come out of that.
And it'll be taxed, right?
And it's taxable deal. Yeah, it's a benefit.
Right. I just want to make sure that was clear. I didn't want that to happen, and somebody goes up and down, well, I didn't get all my money back because of the way it is.
All
it can't.
Criteria have to be met over 50 miles,
yes.
Minimum 6 hours, with an inmate federal.
Yes.
Kind of like if you make $10 an hour, you get $6.
Right.
There you go. All right. Any other questions on that so we can...
And the carpooling, I didn't see a
I had changed, yes. The wording change on that is that we encourage, mm-hmm. Let me look for the exact, multiple employees traveling. When multiple employees are traveling to the same site, the minimum number of vehicles that will accommodate all parties is encouraged to be used upon approval of official department head.
I think that addressed all the changes that we discussed in workshop. If so,
I'll make a motion that we adopt the policy with the exception of the special policy, special provision that we need to do for the elected officials.
I took it out.
Oh,
it's already,
so
it's already
out of the policy. All right.
To adopt the policy.
All right. We have a motion by 2. Second by 3. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Thank you, sirs.
Thank you. Thank you for your work on that. I know it was a lot. IRS standards. Yeah. All right. Number 14, discussion of possible action regarding the certification of the March 2026 collection report for the tax office as required under PTC 31.10. Octavia, you are up.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This is the collections for the month of March 2026. Total collection... was $5,522,884.45. From that total amount, the county's portion was $1,700,067.44. I would like to point out that this month's total for the county does include the 5% commission that the county receives from collecting sales tax from the previous tax year. So for the 2025 year, our sales tax, what we collected for sales tax, we got a commission of $600,740.11, which is that's 5% of whatever we've collected in my office, which is a 9% increase from last year. So we get this once a year. It's out of the tax code. That's our annual commission. And our collection for the year is 92.37%. We're a little bit more than we were the year before, and holding steady on that.
Good deal. Motion by 2. Second by 1. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you.
You're welcome.
Right, item number 15, discussion and possible action to approve the 2027 holiday schedule. Should have a copy of that. Yep, I have a motion by 3 to approve. Second by 4. Any further discussion?
I haven't seen it.
Well, let's get it. Let's vote.
Let's vote.
Is Mardi Gras on it?
Fat Tuesday's not on. Yeah, I don't know that that really hits the deals, but
moving on.
All right, so we got, yeah, it is on it. We got motion by three, a second by four. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? And everybody always wonders why we do these so early in the year, but we have to get this to our courts across the deal so they can schedule court sessions and stuff next year. So they always want it early. That's why we do it so early. Item number 16, discussion and possible action regarding a request from the Sheriff's Office to amend the previously budgeted approved purchase of 6 law enforcement vehicles. The original authorization, 5 Chevrolet Silverado 1500 pickup trucks and 1 Silverado investigator unit, total of $498,302.38 to be replaced with 6 Chevrolet Tahoes. At $497,770, saving a total of $531. Mainly the reason we had to put that is normally in our budget we don't actually list the vehicles, but like last year we did because they made a pretty big deal about wanting their pickups for the good reason. So we actually put that in the budget itself. We said pickups. This is more of a clarification of that. We usually don't do that. They got a budget amount. They can spend it. But because we listed it as trucks, we wanted it to be clear. And 10 years down the road, if somebody looked at it, they would know that we made a change to this. So it's just more of a budgetary thing than anything else. But that's what it is.
So moved.
Motion by 2, second by 4. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Right. Item number 17, discussion and possible action to authorize the county judge to execute an asset transfer agreement on behalf of the county to Deputy Chris Ariola for the possession, care, custody, and control of the K-9 Rudy for the remainder of his life. Also authorize the transfer of asset number 19615 from the inventory of the Orange County Sheriff's Office to surplus in discretion of the Orange County Purchasing Agent. Chief, you want to add anything on that?
Chris Ariola is resigning, and the dog is older too, so he loves his dog.
Don't we all love our dog?
We do.
The last dog that retired was brought to court.
I was fixing to ask where he was at. Yeah.
Yeah.
Where is Rudy the dog?
We'll bring Rudy next time.
Bring Rudy.
He has to be dismissed from duty.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the other is just paperwork formality that we have to. He is an asset, and so that we can put it to surplus.
We have a motion by 2.
Second.
Second by 1. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. 18, discussion and possible action to receive and act upon projects as presented by the Maintenance and Operations Department. Mr. Guidry, you are up.
Judge, Commissioners, an update on some of the projects that we worked on, the DA2 story. Last year we had some termites inside the building, and last week we finally got back to putting all the window trims inside the DA2 story. We still have one window left to fix, and we should be completed with that building. We're still working on the pod buildings. We pulled off on the pod buildings some issues at 3, and we started doing some work requests and stuff on in-house. We're fixing to have to do some sewer work at UTMB on 10th and Cardray. There is a line that runs from the building, the front of the building, to 10th Street. It keeps, every week we're having to go over there and water jet the sewer line. We have some issues out there, so we're going to have to dig it up and put in a new line. I got some quotes. I got one quote back. I'm waiting on another quote back to see what the cost would be for the lean-to at $1,442. As soon as I get the other quote, compare the price and all that to see whether or not we're going to erect the building or maybe hire somebody else to do it. That way we can get it done quicker. I'll just have to wait and see on the price. The Sheriff Department, with the help from some inmates and two of the officers, cleaned out the fence line at the Batcave to get ready to put up the damaged fence. That was we got about 200 feet of fence that was damaged, and we're going to replace the fence. All that's been cleaned up. I got to get with one of the companies that gave me a quote, go back and look at it to revise the quote and move forward on repairing that the fence in the back of the Batcave. The courthouse, we have a hot water circulating pump. We're having the same issue with the pumps at the courthouse as what we did at 1442, where they recast the pump, so the piping and all that will have to be changed up to meet with the new types of pumps. So it's going to be one of these things where I'll end up buying two pumps, one for a spare, one to replace the one that's going out, and the piping will have to be changed up and re-welded to be able to fit the new pumps. Right now, the first price I got for just one pump was $12,000. I think it's high. I'm going to check on another company to see if I can get some cheaper than that because I got to buy two of them. We have a few, about six AC repairs so far at the beginning of this spring season, which is not too bad. So, generator, transportation. Transportation hasn't had a generator in about almost a year. I don't know if it was a weather event or what took out the transfer switch at the transportation. Finally found a new transfer switch, put it in, tried to crank it up, generator didn't work. Come to find out the windings in the generators burned up. So we sent the generator to Houston to have it rewind. Company kept it for a few months, said they can't fix it. So they sent it back to Port Arthur. Sent it to another company in Houston. They said, no, we can't fix it. So I sent it back to Port Arthur. Talked with the company in Port Arthur. They found a company that would sell us a new complete generator unit that would attach to the motor that we already have, that everything would fit. Got it in. I went and looked at it last week. It doesn't look anything like what needs to be put inside our generator. So now I'm waiting on a quote for a complete generator to replace the one from 2005 behind transportation. It's a 200 kW generator, ballpark figure for diesel generators, probably going to be around $60,000, somewhere around that number. Election building. We got a free generator. Free generator, it was nice. Problem is, it's hooked up with natural gas. It runs. They cannot change the taps on the voltage on the generator. It's a three-phase generator. So I got a generator back there that... I can't generate any power because the building is a single-phase building.
What about the transportation building? Is it three-phase?
That one is three-phase.
Can we move that one to the transportation
building? No, it's too small. That's a 135 kW generator.
Of course.
Yes. Well, the generator at the transportation building feeds the VA building, right, plus transportation. So that is my updates.
All right. That's a lot.
You're only supposed to come with good news.
Well, some of us good. We're repairing. Oh, I left out the election building. I'm sorry. I left out the. It was number two on my list, and I left it out.
You right past that, you know.
Yeah. So last Thursday, LaDonna called me to go look at an issue at the elections office, and after I told her we'd check with it Monday. So that Monday, after doing some investigation, we found out that we had an infestation of termites inside the building. So we're replacing a lot of flooring over there right now.
See, I think it's a full
should be finished with it maybe in a couple of weeks. There,
right? All right. You think a couple more weeks on that?
Yeah. We didn't find any more going
in.
No.
The
we cut good. The bottom and looked underneath the everything looked good.
Okay. So the exterminator was back over there yesterday afternoon.
Checking up to make sure that everything was killed.
Yes.
Yeah. So we're batting 1,000 right now, but you know it's subject to rain.
That's what we do. Yeah. All right. Anything else for Mr. Kirk?
Did we get elections moved over?
Yes, sir. We did. We got them all set up in the other building.
Yeah, I know you talked about the pause a little bit. Are we moving forward on changing out those services? Or what are we doing on that?
I've sent Denise and Joel an email on the information that I've got from McKinnis Construction, and we've stopped from that point.
Okay.
We are trying to see if we can get a resolution. We just got to figure out which direction we need to go.
I think we'll try the first direction, and then maybe we'll change directions.
Exactly.
Well, what is the first direction?
Well, I mean, we're seeing what, you know, within their design and their issues that it should have been designed to sustain what was put in the building.
I addressed the issues with the company that erected the buildings, and their response was that it's all by design.
Well, we knew that.
So that was it. That was their answer. I didn't address it any further.
Did we give them a design on what they wanted up front on this?
If you design a building on a design deal, you put certain things in it, it should be able to manage, based off the electric power that's coming to it, it should be able to manage everything that you've designed to be in the building.
They did a poor job of calculating their load data to figure out what size how much you need.
Well, a 200-amp service on the building, I mean, you put a 200-amp service on your home, in most cases, I don't know why you would put that on a commercial building anyway.
It's the air conditioning units, the heat strips, they draw a lot of amps. We're drawing 198 amps on a 200 amp service.
Using the full amount.
Have we got any response from McInnis?
The only response was it was done by design.
Yeah, that was their response so far.
They're the ones who do that. So
yeah, we're moving. We're trying to figure out what we need to do. We'll come back and report on that once we have a chance to look at those contracts and make sure what direction we need to go. Okay. Thank you, sir.
You bet.
Item number 19, discussion and possible action to act upon projects as presented by the Road and Bridge Department.
Tracy looks so excited.
Good morning.
Morning.
Hey, y'all. Well, first of all, we're finished with the Harvey Road project.
Say that one more time.
Say it again.
We're finished
loud.
With the Harvey Project Road. So...
Huh? Finally got you out of three.
We finished with the work. Now it starts the process of the paperwork for getting reimbursement.
Right.
But the road work.
We've got most of the paperwork already. We're just the recent stuff we've done, we got to catch up with and give it to Morgan or Mandy. Another thing, we're starting to build.
Congratulations, Tracy. Thank you all for the hard work.
Thank you. Absolutely.
Now we're starting on roads that some of the commissioners wanted a couple more miles. I'm going to go get a couple more miles.
I don't think it's some commissioners. I think it's all of the
commissioners.
It's all of them. I'm glad you promised me four, so I appreciate that. Thank you.
Anyway, we're going to try to do 2 miles, everybody, and then I'll take a look at my budget and see where we're at. I believe we can afford it. Work orders for March.
Trace, I'll excuse me for a second.
Yes, sir.
And I commend y'all for getting as much done as y'all have. The reason we can get more roads done is because y'all have done a really good job of getting the ones that we had on the list done. So
yes, sir.
I appreciate y'all's hard work.
And we completed, like a little over 14 miles getting the Harvey stuff resolved. One thing I do want to mention, though, is the chip spreader. Right now, they're doing some electrical tests on it right now. It may be a matter of we have to send it off to go get it fixed. So,
and how old is that one?
It's 2015. So, just depends on what it does. It may stop us from.
We don't want to go out and lease one.
Okay, the lease one. I don't have the funds to do it. I guess in my rental, I could lease it for about 2 months if it gets fixed in time. It's like $19,000 a month for rental.
Well, let's look at if we can get it fixed under the term that it is. If we have to send it off, then we can review that and look and see if it's going to, how long they're going to think it's going to take, so we can see if it's worth doing it rental.
Okay, sure will. All right, well, back to the work orders. Precinct one, we had a. Let me see if she did this a little different. Open work orders. Precinct 1 has 3 completed. They completed 16 mark. Precinct 2, open work orders. We got 7. They completed 16. Precinct 3, 11 open work orders and completed 26. Precinct 4, they got 12 open, completed 46. Culvert fees, we took in $1,105. Bridge openings was 11. Collection station participants were 1,422. The billing was $21,761. The receipts were $21,362. And they didn't give me what we got on for the metal. Cameras are being worked on the East Bridge, or East Round Bunch Bridge. They're getting installed, started yesterday. And that's about it.
Tracy, on the RMT program, the work order program, a couple of weeks ago, Mr. Rockwood and I tried to get in touch with some folks at RMT over the grant paperwork they were requesting. Where are we at on that deal? Do we need to start looking for another work order program?
I think so. I haven't got a response. I emailed out.
I've left them messages too.
I've emailed Derek and told him that this is not working. We need something.
Is the program working for the time being? I know they made an upgrade.
It's working, but it's just I still feel like they got a lot of glitches in it. You know, it's not as user friendly as it was before. Like these, they have to go in there manually, pull out dates to try to find out how many work orders do we done, are we completed that month, or how many is open. It's just, used to you could just go in there and type it in and it just give you a report. Well, this is kind of more like you got to go grab here, grab there.
If they do, don't aren't necessarily for the better.
No, and that's why I said I haven't heard anything from Derek. He has not emailed me back or anything else.
I also want to discuss parts of that program probably are not very valuable.
I agree.
Yeah, the report, the information it's given us on the quality of the roads.
It hasn't
worked like they told us to work.
Yeah.
But there's several people out there, I mean, to do stuff. I mean,
yeah, rarely.
But anyway.
Okay. Anybody have any other questions of Mr. Tracy? Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Item number 20, so you still have to stay up here. Discussion. Possible action. Discussion and possible action concerning an increase in funds for the CDL agreement. As you all know, we budget a certain amount of money for the CDL funds because all of our employees have to have a CDL license so they can drive the county vehicles. We've had some turnover in there, so we've went through employees. We bring the new ones on, so we've went through the allocated funds for the current ones. The one thing that I did want to ask is whenever we do that and they do their reimbursement, where are we putting those funds back into? Are we putting it just back in the general? Are we sending it back
to
the
department? It would just go back to the general.
It goes back into general, doesn't it?
Should
we not have a line item to track that?
We
track employees in our office.
Yeah.
Penny tracks the money.
I got you.
But when we did the budget, we did 6 employees.
Mm-hmm.
But Roden Bridge is thinking it's money. So need to clarify, is it money or is it employees? Because we had 6 employees, but one of the employees quit within 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
So then he wanted to use that employee. But I think some of that money has been spent.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in my world, you've already used your 6 employees.
Well, my recollection of it was the 6 employees was to begin the program and see how it worked with the CDO program. And if we needed to look at that again, then we would.
Yeah,
and we need to revisit that.
Well, we do.
Well,
he's
at his limit. He's at his limit with 6 employees.
He's used 6.
Right.
He's used that, but now he's got a need for because we...
Well, he's really at 7 because 1 employee quit.
Yeah. So, but the employees, what we allocated was for 6. Some of those employees have since left.
Right. Just 1.
Came in deal. But... We need to hire
just
how many
one,
more people?
Just 1 employee this budget year has left. He came in February and left in March.
That was doing the program.
That was in the program.
Right.
That completed the program.
I don't think he completed the program.
That was
how much
we
billed. How much did we get back? We know that number?
It was 1 and 4. He completed.
I don't know that.
I wasn't asked anything on this. I haven't.
We are billed $1,500.
So they pay it.
We get reimbursement of $1,000 from the employee. Then after 2 years, if
we
he stays here 2 years, we give them that $1,000 back.
So the money that's in there might not have been budgeted for the money that we're giving back to them.
No, the reimbursement comes out of money.
They haven't been here 2 years yet.
Yeah, so they haven't paid anything back yet.
Okay.
But they've used their 6-person allocation already.
I thought
they already got paid back.
They did.
No.
They did.
Well,
they did.
From other budget years.
Yeah, next year I'm going to have quite a few that's going to make their 2 years.
So
a lot of people, there's quite a few going to get $1,000 back. It's going to come out of that CDL fund. Everything comes out of that fund. Everything.
I don't do line item. I do employees. Penny's the money lady.
So currently right now, you need to hire how many people?
So basically we're needing to add some.
I just moved up 3 people, so I got 5 truck drivers open.
5 truck driver positions that are open. That if we hire those positions, we're going to have their CDL.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they have one,
it's hard. Yeah, it's hard.
So
we
need to approve at least 5 more positions.
Well, maybe. If you're going to feel confident on finding those 5 folks.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, all we can do is hire them, and I mean, you know, it's a.
And we start a deduction of $41.67 per pay period from those employees. Then to cover that cost. So then, after those employees have been here for 2 years, then we give them their $1,000 back. But like Tracy just got his reimbursement, last year.
Yeah.
So it takes a while to get that money back. Yeah. Right.
And what does it cost?
It's $1,500.
So we're beating $500 on everyone.
Once they've been here 2 years.
Right.
Correct.
Yeah.
We give them that money back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But up until that point, they're paying for it.
Well, you know, the problem, I guess, without the CDL program, a lot of the younger generation that would like to have a job here, when they go down there to see about getting a CDL, it's $4,000. And they're like, I can't afford that, you know.
I think it's something that we're going to have to do. I was just trying to wrap my head around how much we ended up losing on one appointment.
Well, he still has to pay it back. I don't know
right.
how they
so
get
when
it.
So when they terminate, we take that from the termination pay.
Their whole check or the vacation.
It's part
everything.
Of the contract they sign when they come to work.
We're not going to be made whole on that.
No, because it comes out to $1,000 of the how much they charge you for the class.
15.
And that's the gamble you take when you set it up this way. But I agree with what Tracy said. It's what we need to do to get employees.
It is extremely helped our hiring.
Yes.
And eventually, hopefully, we'll get some people that's going to stay here and be here, and that's the goal. You know. To, have everybody
and you
in
have.
Position.
You
yeah.
have.
Oh, yeah.
With the ones that have come, there's only been 4 that have left. So
is that the total for the 2 years that we've been doing this?
Mm. Yes.
Well, 5. 5 have left since you've been doing this.
And how many have we done
through
this?
21.
21, we've lost 5. That's a pretty good ratio.
But now this year's hasn't finished the program.
Right. Yeah. Right. So that's the issue that he has to refill those positions.
You got 5.
The allocation of the money that we put in there is not there to cover it. We have
I'll
to approve
make a motion
more positions.
That we approve 5 more positions for the CDL program.
I'll second it. Where are the funds going to come from? The funds are already gone.
I'll have to look that.
He's got funds in his deal, we could have moved it from there. Mm-hmm. But because we approved this in court, I wanted it to come back to court as a court discussion.
Right.
We approved it here.
Here's the problem, Judge. I guess the problem. We approved so many a year.
Mm-hmm.
I believe we did that. This is an exception, so I would want the motion to be for this year because we may not need to do this every year.
I go with
that. Okay. Approve 5 additional.
It's
for
not a policy. It's a budgeted.
It's a budget.
Right.
It's a budgeted thing. So when you started with you paid for 4 employees, and that year you added 2.
Yeah, budget time. If we need to adjust it,
and then this budget year you decided to do 6.
So the motion is we'll add 5 for this budget year.
Right.
That's what I got.
And then
at
budget we'll discuss. Whether you want to start, how you want to start out.
So,
this will go away.
Mm-hmm. So my understanding is 5 at $7,500 or $1,500 a piece?
Correct.
So
it's approved at the $1,500 level.
Okay.
So we're going to approve 5 more for this year. We'll review at budget time if we need to make any changes then.
Yeah.
I don't have a second.
I'll second.
I have a 4 motion. I have a 2 as a second.
I do have a question.
Okay.
So if it's a budget item, the number of people is almost relevant. You're approving the dollars.
Right.
Well, it's twofold.
Yes.
It's both ways. It hits both ways. We'll have to adjust the budget to accommodate for the additional money.
But
we'll look at where we need to come at that from.
Positions.
The first step is that we only approve 6 to begin with. You have to approve more within the same budget year. That's what this is.
And then they'll come back with the money.
And they'll come back and figure out where the financial will come in. We'll put that on the deal to adjust that. I just didn't want to approve more directly because it was a court approval that we did to set the 6.
I mean, he
could have moved the money, did a line, but he could have done a money move within his department, but then we're approving something that wasn't approved in court.
And I could not have done it.
And I don't know if,
Forward just budget for however many spots you think you're going to need and not put a number on it. like 6 or 8 or 10.
Because I don't know, yes, that's what I was saying. I don't know who else is going to get reimbursed in a month from now. I don't know. I don't know that.
Well, that's beside.
So I have to go look and see.
To the commissioner's point, if we approve the money and you want to do a line item to move the money, you're not locked out.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. So
yeah.
Well, we'll have to look at that at the next budget cycle, how we write it then for that number, if we just want to put it as a dollar amount, period, mm-hmm. and not tie it to the number of actual people.
Right.
Okay. I have a motion before, second, but to not any more further discussion. All in favor?
Okay, Johnny.
All right. Item number 21, discussion and possible action regarding recognizing and accepting the Veterans Office Quarterly Progress Report as presented by the Orange County Veterans Service Officer. Mr. Mark, you are up, brother.
Mark Hammer, BSO, Orange County. Good afternoon. The number of walk-ins the past quarter is 387. We receive multiple emails and phone calls daily. Orange County continues to help veterans with their pensions, compensation, and DIC and other VA processes. The VA is processing claims much faster nowadays. The Southeast Texas Standdown event for Orange County will be May the 15th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. They haven't got brochures or pamphlets out yet. And my accreditation is coming up in May the 26th to the 28th, Texas accreditation. That's it. Thank you.
Any questions?
It's not with that, Mark, but have you heard anything about the new building? Should I ask Kurt when he was up here earlier? Where are we at on that? Are we still kind of
still
on that?
They're still working on that process.
Haven't moved anywhere on it.
Do we have a design? Have you provided to them what you
yes,
want?
The design's been, yes, the design has been, yes,
approved. Okay.
Whatever. All right, thank you, sir. Item number 22, discussion and possible action to accept the quarterly reporting as presented by the Texas A&M AgriLife Extension on their programs. You're not Megan.
No, I'm definitely not. A lot more chocolate in there.
All right, there we go.
Good morning. Today I'll be presenting our first quarterly interpretation report for Orange County Extension, covering the months of January through March of 2026. During this quarter, our extension team focused on delivering impact programs in family and community health, 4-H youth development, and agriculture and natural resources. So our overall impact, we reached 12,858 contacts across all our program areas. Our team also traveled 3,114 miles to provide educational programs, training, and community outreach throughout the county. These numbers reflect our continuous commitment to serve the community through education and engagement. So as far as my position as the family community health, we delivered a variety of programs focused on improving health and wellness, including we did a Matter of Balance, which is a fall prevention course at Optimist Village with our seniors, food safety and food handler certification courses. Also did a nutrition education called Meatless Monday program, and food preservation education. We did a water bath canning. Also was at the Head Start, North Head Start, with 139 participants through the Color Me Healthy program. And our overall was to help increase knowledge in nutrition, food safety, and chronic disease prevention. In our 4-H program, which is Miss Franny Woods, our program focused on youth leadership and hands-on learning opportunities, including 4-H clubs and project meetings. The Egg to Chick classroom program, which reached 15 classrooms, livestock judging contests and local livestock shows, and multiple planning meetings and camps and leadership activities. And through these programs, she continued to build life skills, leadership, and agricultural awareness among the youth in our community. And as for Megan, sorry she couldn't be here today. She had training she had to go to, so that's why you have me today. But she Her key activities were the Rice Symposium and Southeast Texas Ag Financial Seminar, pasture management and soil water conservation programs, master gardener events, and participated in the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo and various agriculture committee stuff. But also, some of the things that she has coming up, like pesticide license. The good thing is that anybody is looking for a pesticide, you don't have to travel to Houston anymore to get your license certification. You can actually, it's at Lamar in Beaumont. So she's going to be doing that a lot more quarterly. And some of our upcoming programs that you can look forward to April through June is we have that youth cooking camp coming up. We also have more food handlers. We just recently did the Art in the Park Senior Rally Day is May 12th. And, you know, that's one of our bigger events. Agriculture trainings and public health incentives. Like, we have a car seat event as well coming up at the end of this month. So, in closing, this quarter highlights this strong impact on extension programs in Orange County. And thank y'all for allowing me to give my report.
Appreciate you filling in for it. Fallon, maybe you'll need to ask, but on the Master Gardeners, they had talked to Mr. Trahan and I both about possibly putting some type of a garden facility at his pod building and at the substation in Mauriceville. They were kicking around ideas. Have you heard anything about that?
I did hear them talking about it, but I wish I had more information.
That's okay.
They
called me a couple times and asked a couple questions.
Yeah. I think that they're really interested in it, but yeah, Megan and the Master Gardeners will know more information on it.
I appreciate it.
Okay.
Email me a copy of your report.
Yes, ma'am. Well, I can give you a copy
right now. Okay. All right. Item number 23, discussion and possible action regarding the approval of the early voting locations, dates, and times for May 26, 2026 joint primary runoff elections as follows. The Orange Public Library at 220 North 5th Street in Orange, Texas. Raymond Gould Community Center at 385 Claiborne Street, Bider, Texas. Orange County Precinct 2 Pod, 5320 Arnell Lane, Orange, Texas, and Orange County Precinct 3 Pod at 2010 South Highway 87, Orange, Texas, May 18th to the 22nd, Monday to Friday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Miss Donna, anything else you would like to add to that and have on more discussions on it?
No, sir. That's just the requirements for the Secretary of State, the dates and times.
Okay. Curtis, is there going to be any? I know we've talked about putting some more concrete at the pods. Is that going to interfere with any of this? Or have you got your numbers back on that yet?
Those pad sites where we're extending the.
I did get numbers back on that.
Are we moving forward with that? And will it be during that date? That's what I'm getting at.
No.
Okay.
So that's two questions. Which was the no to?
Well, it won't be starting in there, so it's not going to interfere with the dates.
Yeah, it's not going to interfere with the dates, and it's not going to happen before.
So is that two? Yeah. Is that two no's? Is that what we're? It's not moving forward, or it's
not welcome to my world with Kurt.
Yeah, it is.
Two separate questions.
Well, I think the judge is back there gigging. I mean, the sheriff's back there gigging him with that taser. So
yeah,
he's seen giggling.
I did notice a couple red marks on his neck.
Yeah, we are going to get that done. It is just not going to happen before this election cycle.
So I'm good with that. I just want to make sure.
So is the concrete pad, are we extending the parking area where the voters are parking? There's only like four regular parking spots there.
What are we doing? What we're extending is that pad at the end of that spot where it goes into the drive-through area so that when they walk out the exit, they're not having to walk across the gravel, or more that's the handicap.
Yes,
is not having to go through the gravel to get there. So we're extending those pad sites.
And we're putting
it on the other side. But on the opposite side, there would be more parking spots.
Well, yeah, but it's not going to be concrete. That pad on that other side is small in comparison.
Yeah, but you probably still get a few vehicles.
Well, we can park on the other side for sure. But it's not going to be a concrete parking lot like we have on the other side. The concrete on that side is for the air conditioning.
I feel the reason you're asking that, do you feel like we need more parking there?
I do. Yeah, they can't.
Pick up on that too?
Well, the voters can't park on the other side because they can't enter through that door because everything is set up on the left-hand side of the building.
Did you have complaints about parking in any of the locations?
I did.
Yeah, but they've always
the drive is wide enough. if we marked it, we might park along the drive.
Well, they did at Precinct 2. At the Precinct 2 pod, they parked along the side of the retention pond.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they could.
I can't park 100 cars along the side.
We just have to maybe put some additional signage up for that. But it's
we can make parking on asphalt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Chip seal.
Mm-hmm.
Accommodate that.
Tracy's giggling.
No.
As soon as you say yeah. chips there, he's like, all right.
So yeah, parking lot. Talking about parking 100 vehicles around.
Yeah, I would say during the primary, that was the one complaint, was just not enough parking. And
the signs, I think, will be fine without putting big signs up now, just for this round.
Personally,
the electronic signs, since we have the actual ones up that are on site working.
Okay, they are.
Oh yeah, they're all.
Okay, that's what I had heard. I've not physically seen it myself. I haven't. I guess drove by one and noticed. But
they're all up and operational now.
Okay, so will they say anything?
Yeah. Oh yeah, we can program them to whatever we need to say at that time.
Here.
So who do I need to contact? To
that
get
would be a
Leon.
Oh, hang on a second.
Four is not hooked up yet.
Okay. Well, if we don't have it by that time, we'll use one of the signs out there.
Okay. So I'll get with Joel or
Leon.
Well,
this time we don't have. I mean, we're not using the four early bird.
You'll be using
so we have a little bit more time.
You'll be using it on election day.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Okay.
I'll call you. Okay.
All right. I need a motion to accept those dates.
Motion. Second.
Motion by two, second by four. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
The only one that I might see needing to steal the sign that we had was at Precinct 2. It may still be beneficial while we're getting through that new location because it's sitting back there. Kind of off the road and hidden back there a little bit.
Didn't the fire department just get a new...
It's up there in front of the
fire
department.
It's up and up there, right.
So right now, if you put vote here, they're going to pull into the fire department to vote,
well, I mean,
potentially.
Well, we've got it. We can use them.
Yeah.
We got them. They're just up there.
Yeah.
All right. Item 24, discussion and possible action regarding acceptance of the notice of election for Tuesday, May 26, 2026, joint primary runoff election. The notice will be posted on the county's website.
Okay, so for the primary runoff, that does happen the day after Memorial Day and kind of the start for the summer for a lot of people. So we were finding where we were going to be short some workers. So we went down from 20 locations to 16. We took one location out of each commissioner precinct. From the primary, looking at the numbers, we went with the location from each commissioner precinct that voted around 100 or less.
Okay.
So there's 16
locations.
Election day locations.
Okay. I have a motion by three at this point.
Second.
Second by two. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. Item 25, discussion and possible action regarding the use of opioid abatement funds. Ms. Jennifer, you are
up. We just got the
money.
We
just got it.
Hey, she's fast. I told you they were all excited.
That's right. Got to speak up quick. Sheriff's office quick on that.
But they didn't beat you.
Nope.
They didn't beat you.
Most of it's probably going to the sheriff's department.
You know what? They can actually utilize it really well, so
yeah.
we're okay with that. Hopefully you had an opportunity to review the proposal that Ms. Jamie submitted. I'll just kind of sum it up a little, if that's okay. We're requesting $30,000 to be allocated to increase access to treatment for individuals in custody in Orange County Jail and have identified as opioid use disorder. Treatment could be both inpatient and outpatient. Treatment will be coordinated between adult probation, the jail staff, judiciary, and treatment providers. And that kind of sums it up.
Kind of simple and typical.
Her little proposal had just an estimated number, but as she's reviewed and provided some intakes, she's looking at about $30,000 for now. If later we identify that the funds could be used for that purpose, then we'll come and request more. And this has all been sent to the committee.
Sent and reviewed.
Sent, reviewed, a few responses, two responses.
And this is for the inmate care?
No, this will be to provide treatment for individuals who are incarcerated and have identified with an opioid use disorder. This will allow them to go into inpatient or outpatient treatment, and it will be utilizing the opioid funding.
Which is what it was for.
Yeah, it's one of the main reasons as to why it was identified or
all right.
distributed.
The request is, so I have a motion by three.
Second.
Second by two. Any further discussion? All in favor? Any opposed? Thank you.
Thank you.
Item number 26, discussion of possible action approving a memorandum of understanding between the Sabine H.S. Chapter, Texas Master Naturalist, in Orange County for repairing the pedestrian bridge across the Scout Bayou at Claiborne West Park. Ms. Denisha, you are up.
So basically, this just kind of outlines what we are agreeing to as the county and what the Sabine H.S. Chapter of the Master Naturalist are agreeing to. And we weren't sure. I had got with Denise beforehand. She's read over it and made some pointers and updates. But we weren't sure who needs to sign it. So we're just asking, basically, if that's something I can sign, since the county's agreeing to pay funds out for the materials, or if that's something the judge needs to sign, or...
The court can authorize
since
whoever, as long as the authorization comes from the court, the signatory doesn't matter.
Well, the funding is not, I guess.
I know, it's coming out of the special park funds.
Out of your allocation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
But we're not paying them, we're just paying for the materials.
Correct, we'll purchase the materials our own, and then they'll use the materials to make the repairs.
Well, then you can make a motion that we approve this with the exception of her signatory being on it.
So moved.
With the approval of the court.
Okay.
We'll also need to make sure, since it's going to be a fiscal asset once the repairs are made, that we make sure that gets to purchasing, that we
that what will be an asset?
The bridge.
The bridge will be an asset, yes.
It should already be on the asset list, then, shouldn't it?
We're just making repairs to the handrails.
We're not building a new
footing, yes.
Is it going to enhance, and it's going to make it where it will be useful, and it will have an extended life?
It was in originally,
as it wouldn't.
It now extends its life because it has no life right now. Mm-hmm. And so what I'm saying is at that point we need to to make sure that that expense is given to purchasing, that we look at that and put it as an improvement, because that is a enhancement to an asset for the county.
Okay, so how do we go? How we go about that?
Keep the receipts and everything, and at the end of it being repaired, we'll look at what life that should be put on, and Denise Colley will put that down, fixed asset,
okay.
And we'll do
and
that.
Depreciation value.
And did y'all have any questions about the MOU in general? I think they've already kind of
As long as you, Denise, and them like to open.
Mr. Parrish has something.
Does the MOU require that somebody be designated by the county as a contact person?
That would be Denisha.
That's Denisha.
And I have authority to sign it. Correct.
Yeah, and you have authority to sign it, and you're spending his money.
That's right. I like it. Can I get authorization to spend some more money?
All right. So I have a motion.
And if on this, on the expenses, if you'll put the commissioner court where it was approved for your signature, that'll...
Okay.
With the requisitions. That'll just be helpful.
All right. Motion by two. Second by
four.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
All right. Dale, thank y'all for helping us out with that.
Yes, thank you. All right, item 27, discussion and possible action approving the Orange County Claiborne West Park ball field rental guidelines recommended by the ball field committee that was appointed in court on 9/9/2025. Denisha, you're up again.
Yes, so I'm here today on behalf of the ball field committee that included Commissioner Trahan, Commissioner Sal, Edie Teague, Kurt Guidry, and myself. And our goal was to come up with some guidelines for the ball field at Claiborne Park, and to ensure that all local ball programs have a fair opportunity to use the field. The committee's recommended guidelines are in your packet, and I'm here to answer any questions, concerns.
I've got a couple of tweaks I would like to make to that.
Okay.
One of them, like you and I talked about the other day, and it kind of goes to what we were talking about, trying to schedule it, Commissioner.
Mm-hmm.
I got with the Bridge City Little League, trying to figure out times. Instead of it being a monthly scenario where you're reserving the field for a month, I would like to do it for the season. Due to the fact that the coaches are going to need some consistency on when their practices are, trying to get people there. We've got 10 time slots during the week. That would be, I would like to change that time frame from, instead of a month, from two seasons, one beginning in February, one ending in July, and then the second season being fall ball season, starting in September and end in December.
You said February to July, and what was the other?
September to December. Oh, well, the coaches have got, the teams have consistency, parents know where they're supposed to be going, the kids know where they're supposed to be going.
But you change all the time. I don't like that, and here's why I don't like it, because I coached before, and I got the crappy field and the crappy time slots for the whole year. What I'd like to see, I'd really like to go by the week, but I know that'd be too cumbersome. We talked about
that. I'm talking about it after the fact, too. And
it's too cumbersome. But I felt comfortable with the month because that gave a team a chance for a better slot the following month, and I think it spreads the good time slots amongst the people trying to use it. So I really do like the month.
Now, Commissioner Sal, the February to July is 6 months long, and the September to December is 4 months long?
Is a much shorter season?
Okay.
Okay. Time frames.
So I really prefer the month.
Well, I understand what you're saying, Commissioner Trahan, but the hardest thing in Little League is getting parents' kids to practice. Consistency, I think, is more important to getting them to practice than
the one thing that this
I've done it too. I did football, baseball.
There's game changer. There's a team chat. There's all kinds of stuff. They communicate almost on a daily basis. I don't see that being an issue at all.
Well, the one thing that this has absolutely brought to my attention is the need for more Little League baseball practice facilities and softball practice facilities.
Without a doubt.
So, in Claiborne Park, I had intended on providing some more pickleball courts. But with Commissioner Viatore fixing to build two more, I believe, at Raymond Gould, I'm going to suggest and get with Anisha and see about creating two more practice fields. There's one already there in the back.
Not designed, but there's an area. There's plenty of area, yes.
There's a backstop. Yes. The other corner, I think we could do that, too.
Do we need to do something with the road out there if we're going to do that then?
Yes.
Possibly,
on
yes.
that backside.
Yeah, on that backside. We've got to close it off right now.
Redo that piece of road.
But, so, to that point, that was the only specific change to the I thoughts more about the your how you were going to pick the teams
mm-hmm.
calling in on Monday. I can see,
and we have two more teams now as of
so
this
now
morning.
We got 10.
10.
I can see where it would be tough to have on a Monday morning. It's first come, first serve. Whoever calls in gets the first slot. So if I understood right, what you were wanting to do was put them all in a pool.
Correct.
At the end of the day. Pick out of there.
So we have 10 people interested, so we will contact those 10 people once we approve guidelines. We'll contact them, say we have approved the guidelines in court. On this date, we're going to draw numbers, and whoever number one gets the first choice of the selection, and you have up to 2 hours to, you know, make your selection. So that'll just help speed things along as number one obviously will be easy. He gets to pick whatever he wants. Number two depends on what number one selected. Number three, number 10 is going to be like, well, crap, there's nothing left. So,
practice is
going to
be tough.
Yeah. So initially in the guidelines as they're written, because we were looking at the month to month, we were going to do an initial draw selection for that first month. And then go in a rotating order. The first person goes to last place, and everybody moves up a slot. If y'all decide to move to a seasonal, I think each season we will need to do a random draw because that makes more sense. Otherwise it'll take a guy 10 years. His kids will be graduated before he finishes.
The other thing I was thinking about from a standpoint Commissioner Tran was saying about rotating every month. Coaches are going to try and find consistency. You did it when you were coaching. You're going to try and find a place to practice. And if you find a place, that's probably where you're going to stay at. So I would think after the initial influx that we get at the beginning, most of the teams are going to find some place to practice, and you won't have this going on all night.
Maybe not. I don't know. I know that There's a lot more teams than there are practice fields.
Right. Absolutely. That's the problem.
The schools have narrowed down their practice fields because we all used to practice at schools.
Well, I think the little leagues don't allow it as much as they used to either, maybe. I've heard issues. So it's just a problem, and unfortunately we have one little field. and it's a very small part of our very huge park that we don't want to, you know.
And we're only getting one day a week each day?
Yeah, well, no, one Monday through Friday slot and one Saturday Sunday slot per month is what the committee recommended, yes.
What did we do on the Saturday Sunday slots, time slots?
So we're going to do the first and third Saturday of each month, and second and fourth Sunday of each month. That shelter number 3 that is right adjacent to the ball field will be reserved or designated. The reservations will be designated for ball field. So that will limit the number of parties and other type of events that can be held at that shelter. But it also leaves it open where we can have, each weekend, we can have other parties at that shelter.
Okay. All right, well.
Do we need to look at the existing field that's back there now with the backstop? Do we need to go ahead and say that we're going to start scheduling that the same way?
My preference would be to get one field with guidelines approved.
Why not make
see how that goes? Well, because it's, you know, in the last 10, 15 years at least, we have not reserved these fields. So it's just been, hey, you show up, if nobody's there, you practice. I know that doesn't work well, but that's how it's been done. And so our office, it's going to be a big adjustment to taking these ball field reservations. It's going to, you know, triple the number of reservations that we take a week, a month, however often, with all these slots. Because we rent the shelters, we rent 6 shelters. We rent them for the day. So it's now we're renting one shelter up to 10 times a week, depending on how often you guys change the selection process. So I just feel like I'd like to get our feet wet.
Only rented for one?
For the whole day. We don't rent them in time slots. So when you get shelter number 2, you got it from morning to night. Now we're going to have 6 slots on Saturday and Sunday for the shelter number 3, where we have to keep up with who's there and who's not and how to contact them and if they show up or don't show up or make a mess or clean up. It's just going to be a lot scheduling wise.
Sunday usage, there'll be a few teams, but not a lot, I think. But I agree, you've got a lot more work coming your way.
So instead of having 2 fields right off the bat, let's test out this first field and see how it goes, would be my preference. And then, hey, if once we get that system down, you know, we're using Google Calendar to schedule these shelters, and it's already a nightmare. We're looking for a new system. Kylie's here today. She's our part-time admin who deals with reservations. She's looked at some programs. I've looked at some programs. We're just trying to find something that will be free or very cost-efficient for us to use rather than just putting names on Google Calendar, because, like I said, now we're up to 8 locations with the 6 shelters, the amphitheater, and the Gould Center. That's a lot of reservations just on one, you know, stupid calendar. Then we've got 10 extra slots to add, well, 10 during the week and 6 during the weekends. So it's just a lot for a calendar. You know, we need some kind of scheduling software. But we haven't found one yet that's affordable. They want like $1,000 a month. So
yeah, like RMT.
Yeah. And then we don't know how they work. And then they want us.
Then they update them and they don't work anymore.
Well, and they want us to require that we use their credit card systems, you know, because when you book it online, then you have to use their credit card system, and it's just a whole overthrow. I'm like, we're just trying to find a better solution.
Fair Harbor?
I don't think so. No, I don't recognize it, but I've just looked at several. I'll put that on my list.
So as far as this particular item, because we're kind of getting all over right now, the guidelines and stuff that are in place currently right now, are we going to leave them as is, or are we wanting to make a change in that wording in one of those?
Well,
languages?
I had one more, so we've got that I wanted to do, and I'd also make a motion that we do that. Make the change to this policy with the dates that are on there, the February to July, September to December. And the organization that has updated the field and spent the give us the donation has requested that they have the first opportunity at the Monday time slot at 5:15 and the Thursday time slot at 5:15.
Two a week.
I don't
agree with that. I think
as an exception to what we've agreed, I mean,
yeah. And they would like that, and I would make the motion to that for a two-year time frame.
I thought one team got a slot for all week when they were.
Yeah, one during the week and one on Saturday. Yeah, yeah, weekend.
So he wanted a slot on the weekend, too, and I felt like that was overdoing
just,
it. So.
They just get two practices we're talking about?
Yes.
Well, and
unless it's
back.
Not open.
That's all.
And
if
it's, I mean, nobody's
well,
got
and,
it.
And,
the slots, Kurt, on Monday through Friday, there's a Monday slot at 5:15 to 6.
Right.
But they only get one of those Monday through Friday slots.
Okay.
And then they get to choose a Saturday to Sunday slot.
If you get in this plan, you're going to practice one time a week, and if you do
right,
you can get two times a week.
Right, correct. And it's just hard. I mean, we have 10 people that want it. So how do we?
Well, the only thing about that one is, the first one, is y'all know better on those plan on that. The second one I do have an issue with, other than the fact that, and I think I may need to say that again, because I know that someone did some work on the field and all that kind of stuff, but that should not give preferential treatment to anybody, because everybody in the county, it's everybody's park.
Contributes
what
to that.
If they contributed
to the park. Those other people had no place to park if not for that guy.
Yeah, nobody.
Well, the field has been there. The field has been in use and been there.
But nobody used it.
No, that's not true. We didn't have to reserve it. We just let people use it as first come, first serve. The field, we're adding lighting to the field. The county's paying for lighting.
Did you have 10 people in line wanting to use it?
We didn't take lines. We told them whoever's there. We haven't done that in 10 to 15 years. The last time.
But obviously there wasn't, because it had to have so much work to get it up to the point where you could practice on it, because there was grass all over it. It wasn't any.
I agree, Commissioner, but I think it was a donation. And I go back to what the judge says. I think the park belongs to everybody. We should give preferential treatment to some people. And like I said, I appreciate what they've done after it. It looks nice. I guess we're going to leave it with the dirt infield is what we're going to do now. Is that correct? So it looks good. But I think it's everybody's park. And it's like if somebody gave me a donation out to Bluebirds, I wouldn't give them, hey, this is your boat ramp. Everybody's got to leave for you to use the boat ramp. I just think it's everybody's park.
Well, everybody's still getting an opportunity to use it. We're talking about 10 time slots, and two of them. The 10 would be if they wanted to practice. That's not saying that they're even going to practice. Somebody else could.
I think the one and one is a good plan. And you got to remember now, that second practice is going to be tough getting the whole practice in, because dark will chase you out sometimes.
Well, we got lights going up.
We are the county is paying for lights to be repaired at the ball field.
When's that going to happen?
I just got the revised invoice today, so I'll be putting in the requisition this afternoon.
Well, we talked about, are we going to charge for the use of the lights? Or
we did not put that in the last minutes. We discussed that we would see how kind of things go and maybe make that revision later, but that is not in the guidelines that were in your packet.
Did you get the information back, because we were going to get to Commissioner Trahan to look at it, because he was going to figure up an estimate on what that was going to cost?
The information back for what?
From the sign company or the light company.
What type of lights they're going to put up?
I do have that in my I think it's listed in the invoice. I can copy you on the invoice.
Oh,
yeah.
So, do you remember this person that put money in this field?
Well, they were making a $60,000 donation is what the cost of the donation was going to be, with the grass that they were going to sod it with.
Right,
they're not going to sod it anymore, and they've estimated the cost to be $30,000 in work they've done between equipment and time they've spent out there.
Right, I think that's the material.
Labor and equipment.
Labor and equipment, yeah. Well,
so
let's,
my motion is, see if I get a second on it, the dates as discussed, and that the organization that has donated the labor and the time to get the field usable get Monday time slot at 5:15 and a Thursday time slot at 5:15 for a duration of 2 years.
Ooh, 2 years. That's exorbitant.
You're throwing two things in here.
Right.
I'm
separate
say,
the motions.
I think you got to separate the motions, because there's one half I'm going to say I would support because of the time slots and all that. The other part of giving someone preferential treatment, that would be, I think that should be separate, because it is.
Okay, so make two motions in?
Hey, so let's
so
do
my first
one
motion.
Let's do one motion, approve or not approve.
Yeah.
Correct.
Okay, yeah. So the first motion is, sir, I'm sorry.
Is to set the dates for a season from February to July for spring season, and fall season would be September to December.
Okay.
And can I add to that? do you want to add in that motion that because that's going to prolong the time frame that we do a random draw each season?
Okay. Yes, I didn't realize it was just.
We would have to change that because otherwise, then, like I said, the guy whose kid would be graduated before we get his to his turn if we're doing it, you know, just twice a year.
Yeah. Okay.
So, and then my second question: What about
mud.
During the summer? So July. So we have August. Just August is just free for all.
Free for all.
Okay. So just twice a year, we'll make the change, and then we'll change to the random draw. Also.
All right. So I have a motion by two, a second by three on the scheduling and the timing of that motion at this point. That on its own. And so motion by two, second by three. Any further discussion? I think we beat this to death. If not, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
All right. And then, so that is for scheduling. And then, all right, Commissioner, if you want to make your second about the...
The second motion would be that the organization that put the time, effort, energy into preparing the field to get us back to where people are using it to this point would be allowed to use Monday and Thursday early time slots, 5:15, for a period of 2 years.
So I have a little bit of discussion maybe on that. I feel like if we're going to make an exception to where one team gets twice a week, we should make the rule that everybody gets twice
a
week.
Still get
I don't think we could say, I think it's like, if I was reading the guidelines and go, well, every team gets one Monday through Friday and one Saturday, Sunday, but that guy gets two. It's just a little more obvious that we're being preferential to somebody. It would be less obvious if we said all teams, which is going to limit the number of people that can participate. So just wanted to throw that in there as you're thinking about it.
Okay, I thought that at the beginning.
Yeah. I just,
the two slots?
Yeah.
Each,
you know, a team can have two slots.
Well, they
so this would be three then with the Saturday, Sunday?
Well, no. I mean during the week.
I know, but it's
they're generally playing on Saturday and Sunday. And one season gets
well,
going.
Depends on which league.
Playing during the night.
Right.
So that'll also tell some of the nights where it'll open up because once the season comes
so that would leave room for five teams to participate in that field if we do two slots per team. And there's 10 slots during
so
the week.
So it reduces it from 10 to 5.
Mm-hmm.
Teams.
A lot less kids.
Is there a charge for the field?
Yes. Yes. Basically, we've tied the reservation of the field to the reservation of shelter number three next to it because it's just right there. And typically, they're going to need the restrooms right there. They're going to need tables for the moms to sit at. And, you know, so it'll just be a $20 fee to rent that shelter. And it comes with the ball field just like the other shelters.
So does the other person have to pay the $20 also, or no?
I would think
yes.
So. Because he agreed. I mean, he was willing to do that from the beginning to pay.
He didn't think he should, but I explained he would have to.
Yes. That's what I'm saying, and that's the thing, is you start getting into the, and I hate to say the word special treatment, but it is what it is. You get into that because there may be other groups that say, well, if I'd have known that I'd have got a ballpark on a special day, I'd have paid to have something done. And then you get into that whole...
Yeah, bring them on. They should have.
Issue.
I know. I'm just saying.
You got the other fields you're trying to get ready.
Yeah, like, hey, we got two more. We're coming. We'll pick some more.
But then it becomes where it's not really a donation. You're doing that so you get special treatment on a time slot. So
I think that's going to equal what the donation.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Well, it really wasn't
not
a six...
still paying, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're still paying.
And 2 years.
For 2 years.
All right. I have a motion by two.
My second.
Oh, okay. Second by three.
Yeah.
All right. Any more discussion again? We better be discussing. If not, all in favor?
Aye.
Three. And I'm a no as well. So
I'm a no.
No. Two. All right. But a motion passes for that as well. All right. Thank you. Man.
Sorry.
A lot of discussion. That's why we do it. All right. Item number 28, discussion and possible action, review and approve a recreational vehicle park application for the property located at 16609 Highway 62, Orange, Texas. All requirements have been reviewed and approved by the Orange County Drainage District, Orange County Road and Bridge Department, and Orange County Environmental Health. Code compliance, Mr. Ardwain, you are up.
Judge, Commissioners, this is that RV park that is going in on the east side of 62. It's 179 slot place.
I thought
doing,
we already approved that.
That was my mistake. That was a different one. Yeah, that we talked about. They've met all the drainage district and all the other ones. That are, they're going to do a strip mall in front of it, a business thing, and in the back will be the RV park.
Gilbo's?
Is there Concrete Street?
Sir.
Yes. Did you find it?
I got the application.
Is there a map or anything?
Is that the one beside Gilbo's or the one across the street?
It's on
the east side, so it's going to be on Gilbo's side, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Right next to it. Or pretty close to being next to it.
We do not have a site plan, right? Just application.
Did they submit a site plan? Yeah, I thought that was one.
The site plan, I was told it was emailed over.
Who would that come from?
I'll email. There you go. This borders the South Meadows Drive. So it's to the north side of South Meadows. They put it here.
Okay.
Too big.
So that's the Habsco property?
Next.
Yeah. Because Meadow Drive was Habsco, right? Okay. Now we're talking.
So there's one across the road now that they're already building on the west side of 62. Mm-hmm. And this one's going to be on the east side of 62. In the same location. This is not a new location. Because this has been being discussed for quite a while.
Yeah, this was actually proposed previously. Haney, the engineer on site.
Haney Tomei.
Passed away. Charles Sajari.
Charles passed away?
Charles Sajari passed away. So... This is somebody else coming back. It originally was supposed to be a recreational vehicle park and a manufactured home park, but now they've just done it to commercial property on the front, like Joel stated, and RV park on the back side. And they're also leaving the very back of the property open for future development.
So they've met all the requirements?
Yes, sir.
And it's not all an RV park. There is
the strip mall in front.
But that will be permitted separately from this motion that Joel is.
But that's the plans for them.
So moved.
Motion by two. I have a motion by two. Second by three. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Item number 29, discussion and possible action to approve amendment number 1 of the Chapter 312 tax abatement agreement between Orange County and USG Paper, LLC. Ms. Megan.
Okie dokie. So you guys approved this abatement last February, and since then the company and consultants and legal have been working through some amendment language. Basically, the ask is for the reason for the amendment is some permitting delays that were not foreseen whenever we went into this, and then construction as well. So it's basically asking for be amended to allow 18-month construction timeline to be calculated to commence after USG acquires the Title V permit required for the project. And that they will use their best efforts to obtain the Title V permit and will further notify the county immediately once it's received. So that would put it at...
But they didn't send anybody here to talk to us or the city. Oh, did they? I'm sorry.
Yeah, we've got Sean Rooney. He's the consultant for the project today. And if you have anything you want to add, Sean.
Sure.
He's been so patient with us this whole court. I'm just going to shake my head. Come on up, Sean.
Good morning, everybody. Sean Rooney with Ryan LLC. I'm working with USG on this project. The main issue right now is that when they purchased the property, it was basically sight unseen. They couldn't do any of their engineering or testing up front that they would do normally. Part of the acquisition was also purchasing the air permits and the related pollution permitting. They're going to have to go back for an amendment on the Title V air permit. They're hoping to have the application submitted in the next couple of months, but depending on how long that takes to get approved, that will basically determine their construction start.
I don't like the open-ended date. I don't mind giving more time, but I don't like an open-ended date.
Right. So and you know, they want to move basically as fast as they can. It's just a matter of they don't know how long it's going to take to get the actual approval.
So you're wanting to delay the start of the abatement agreement 18 months?
This says, the way that it's written, it says...
It was tied to the execution of the agreement originally.
Yeah.
And so this ties it to the approval of the air permit, basically.
Yeah. So.
But what construction processes are taking place now? Because we have to have a start date that says this is the amount for taxable value
we're
at. If we allow construction to take place before the abatement kicks in, then that would be our new number. And so we've got to make sure that we're not missing that.
Yeah.
When there's already construction taking place out there.
Yeah. The only things that have been done so far have been demolition. Because they don't have the air permit, they can't start on anything.
Okay.
So,
deconstruction has been.
We still have an end date. It's I specifically added in there because I also don't agree that we can't just have it uncapped.
Right.
There has to be, but in no event later than.
It says 18 months after the date that USG receives the permit, or 30 months after the effective date of the agreement, whichever occurs later.
So still an end,
which is in the original agreement,
right?
I believe the original agreement date was January 2026.
And no new construction process is taking place at this point.
Correct.
That's why I just want to make sure.
Just deconstruction.
Yeah.
They currently don't have the ability to produce anything at the moment. So
okay.
There's no operations happening out there.
So 30 months from today?
The execution date. It was originally 18 months from the execution date. We changed it to 18 months from the permit date, but not later than 30 months from the execution date.
Final execution, was it final execution or was it from the base year? I
don't have the agreement.
I just have the amendment in front of me. Because final execution by the county was February 2025, but final execution from the company wasn't until December 2025.
Right.
So I think it probably goes off of the effective date, whatever's defined as the base year, which is usually the first January after it's executed.
Is that the amendment?
This is the amendment, yeah.
Effective date. It's 30 months after the effective date, and I don't have the original agreement to know, because the effective date is going to be defined in the agreement itself, execution notwithstanding.
Okay. I'll confirm, but if I'm not mistaken, it's January 1st, 2026. Because that, Sean, if you recall, was why we were trying to get an answer before the end of the year.
Right.
And if we were going to approve or...
So that could possibly push it to June of 28th. Is that correct? Thereabouts.
That sounds right.
Yeah.
The latest date.
Right. And I can tell you if it goes that far, they're going to be unhappy about it. I mean, not that there's anything to be done, but obviously they don't want to wait that long if they don't have to.
And then the earliest date would be June 27th.
Well, I mean, they're hoping if they can get their air permit in submitted, you know, if it only takes, you know, 3 to 6 months, depending on what they can do, that'd be on the short end of things, then they could get started by the end of this year.
But does that trigger this? Because, like I said, if there's at some point when new construction starts, we have to know what that setup is. We can't have new construction start, build $5 million worth of stuff out there, and then our 18-month kick in, and they've already built $5 million because they got their air permit in 3 months.
Right.
Yeah. So
there's got to be something.
We don't have to give them the extension, do we?
No, but what I'm saying is we just, you know, I don't mind giving an extension. I just want to make sure we got protections in there that say if they get the air permit in 3 months.
Yeah.
But our agreement says we're not going to start till 18 months. They can do a lot of construction in the middle. We got to make sure we hit that number at the right day.
That would all be on the tax roll.
Well, so I'm saying I want to make sure that we have that written out that way, though.
Are we under a deadline for this? Because I can, if you want to table this, I can go back to the agreement and address your specific concern. I wasn't thinking about it in those terms, but I certainly can. If you want to table this until then, or approve it.
The challenge just comes with the posting that we are required to do. I had to post this 30 days ago.
Okay.
It was actually like 45 days ago because it's an amendment, substantive amendment to the original agreement. It's not just something like a name or whatever. So that would be the only thing I would have to post it
out. So we'd have to wait another 30 days from that time point. I mean, if you're comfortable with the fact that we're covered on all that, I'm good. I just want to make sure we're covered, that we're not going to have a time frame that's not going to.
Property taxes.
Right. Okay, so property taxes
yes.
are based on January 1 of the year.
Yes.
So we're past the 26th.
Yes.
So January 1 of 27, if we're going to change this abatement and the appraisal district already knows, we need to let them know ASAP.
Mm-hmm.
Because the roll is certified as of July 25th. We need to get it done quicker.
Okay.
Preliminaries are coming out in the next week or this week.
Yeah, we'll get you in this week or next week.
We need to make changes. Any changes, but like I said, I don't know if you can prorate an abatement, though, my mind isn't thinking.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you would take effect the next following tax year. Which
Yeah, so even if they don't, the tax year values are year to year.
Mm-hmm.
So even if this is an 18-month delay, if they start construction in June of 27, that abatement still wouldn't kick in until the following year because the year before is the year that created the value.
Yeah. Okay.
So,
right, but we do have an end date, Commissioner. On there.
Any questions about the project in general?
I don't currently.
When are you going to be making paper?
What's that?
When do you think you'll be making paper?
Well, the hope is right now that they can get the air permit by within 6 to 12 month range. They'll be done with construction by end of 28 and in production fully by the beginning of 29.
Okay.
So I think one of the points was that there could be some construction going on before the abatement begins.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that we are familiar with. Is that something that you guys are not comfortable with?
No, I mean, because it's taxable value. I just want to make sure that we have a time, because you have to set that number at some point. You have to say, this is my time period that we're going to start.
Yeah.
And this is the value on the ground at the time.
Okay.
And then we're going to, anything they'd ask. Because, I mean, they want it to be after the fact because it's better for them on the abatement side.
Yeah.
Okay. We just want to make sure we don't miss that. Are comfortable that that's covered within that calendar that we've set with the 18 months and the 30 months, and I'm okay with it. But
I don't know that I can make that representation sitting here. I'm sorry. I would love to tell you that, but without having the agreement in front of me, I'm not comfortable telling you that you are absolutely protected.
Well, us not doing this extension today, because we have to go 30 days.
You want me to print it real quick?
What I was saying is if we didn't do it today, y'all still moving forward with getting your permits, right?
Right.
Okay, that doesn't change. I would suggest that we table, let you have an opportunity to look at what our questions are. It doesn't slow them down any. And it gives us an opportunity, because this is the first time we're here, and I want to make sure that we're right. Because it's a lot of money.
Yeah.
On both sides. Y'all want to make sure you're getting your prime, your value for what you build up. We want to make sure we get our value for what's there.
Yep.
And we're not missing that. So if that doesn't affect, I know we have to repost Megan, but I think that's probably the safest course of action.
Okay.
There's no action today.
Yeah.
Is everybody good?
Good.
Yep.
Okay. All right. And then we will repost.
I'll repost. I'll just go ahead and get it scheduled out.
Okay.
And then that'll give us 30 days to review and confirm.
Okay. And I'll get in touch with you, because I'll need to look at it and make sure that
it's been a little bit since we've looked at it.
Yeah. Well,
exactly.
I was thinking of us shifting the timeline, but I understand the protection he's talking about, so I just want to make sure that we're covered on that.
Item number 30, closed meeting held pursuant to Texas Government Code 551.071, to discuss with Assistant County Attorney one or more discrete and unrelated matters regarding pending or threatened litigations, as well as seek receive information and advice from the Assistant County Attorney on legal matters that are not related to the litigation or settlement of litigation, but are matters in which the duty of the attorney of the court otherwise conflicts with Chapter 551. Scrivian, who would you like to have?
That's just going to be the court, myself, and without recording.
We will open Commissioner's Court back up at 12:38 to take any action deemed necessary. Take any action deemed necessary based upon discussion, closed session, regarding the execute the release forms relating to the settlement offers in the matter of the Texas opioid multi-district litigation for the county in the matter of County of Orange versus Purdue Pharma, Inc., et cetera, and what else? In the 152nd District Court of Harris County. Scrimion, anything you need to add to that? So that would be the motion, is that I would be approved to sign?
Sign the release documents.
Okay.
Yeah, sure.
There you go.
I have a motion by two to authorize me to sign. Second, I had a second by one already.
Okay.
Second by one. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. We're going to go back to... number 29 and reopen number 29. We took no action on that, but as a tax abatement around the USG paper, Megan has some further information.
So I went back and I printed the original abatement agreement and am comparing it to the amendment. One of the questions was about there being no end date. So the way that the amendment reads is that the amendment requires USG to commence construction of its project within 18 months of the effective date of the agreement. The effective date, as described, is the last of the dates of execution of this agreement by the parties set forth below the respective signatures of the county and USG, which USG's date is December 17th, 2025. So that would be the effective date that they would have to begin commencement of the project no later than 18 months of.
Okay. I think the question, though, has more to do with whether or not that extension actually extends the abatement period, because they can begin construction. We want to make sure that if they do begin construction, even though they have the extended timeline, that any construction they do is getting on the rolls.
Would be on the rolls for sure, the tax rolls, and that it doesn't extend it past the time frame of the years.
Yeah.
Our agreement started with them in January. There's or February, wasn't it?
February was when the court signed, and then they signed in December.
I have a hard time believing they weren't going to know they were going to have a problem getting permits.
Well, the problem with these agreements, whenever we go into them as an incentive, is they don't have all the answers. They don't have all the pieces because they're comparing different sites. They haven't run all the financials, and like Sean said a moment ago, they bought the site unseen, which, I mean, hey, not something I would do, but...
Well, I heard yesterday that really did happen. I heard yesterday they basically wouldn't even let them on a property inspect and said, at this low-ball price, this is what, you take it away.
Oh, really?
Yeah, what I heard. If that's the case, he's telling the truth. But I guess the question would be, give an abatement to entice somebody.
Right.
They're here.
And the city's already done it.
We had already approved it before.
Yeah.
Okay.
All they're doing now is they're just asking for an extension due to the permit process.
Yeah.
But it's almost like, it's almost like a new abatement. I know it's an extension. Well, I get it. But it's still an enticement that you're given after the fact, because you already got dates.
In a way, but on the other hand, the way that our abatements are written, the base year is defined as...
We've done this before in situations where we've had to extend because of the construction process and everything. It takes a longer start. And so what they're trying to do is they're trying to maximize their years, and I get it, and that's okay. I just want to make sure that my concern is just making sure that there wasn't any construction process taking place that wasn't going to be tied into this.
Well, we weren't going to be able to tax them about it. We need to make sure that the base year is still tied to the effective.
If they had started some construction, that would hit the tax rolls. It wouldn't be abated.
Yeah. It's just the end part of it that comes. I mean, I think we're okay. Yeah.
Say that again?
Say they had $1 million on the ground right now. Mm-hmm. It's not in the abatement. It's not
right now. Right. Well, and the same can be said for if they get their abatement in 6 months and they start in 6 months. That value won't come onto the roll until January anyway.
So they lose 6 months of whatever construction they did.
Right.
It's a tax roll.
Right.
Right.
And then so in this case, they're basically just saying, hey,
So here's where the question really exists,
okay?
Because you said earlier, right now the tax roll was done in January of X date.
Mm-hmm.
That's the tax roll.
Mm-hmm.
Demolition has been taking place, so whenever they do their report in January, they go to what Octavia was talking about. Mm-hmm. When they go to that and they redo that, all of that property is going to come off because all
it's
that
going to be lower.
It's going to be lower,
mm-hmm.
And it's going to be lower until the 18-month period kicks in on the new construction costs, and then their 10 years would start there. So. I mean, that's the only thing, is that just gives them longer time. Honestly, what it really does, it gives them a longer time.
More time to tear stuff down.
Yeah, more demo time.
How much was the abatement? What was the percentage?
It was 10-year, 100%.
10-year, 100%. Because it was a big project.
And the city did a 10-year, 80%.
Yeah. With, I believe.
But they gave them an incentive, cash.
Cash, too, yeah. I think it's $2
million. Yeah, didn't they give them a sales tax refund, too?
I don't
recall. I know there was a cash incentive.
We have an agreement, and we did that. Get them to move here and start. They're doing. if we change this, we're basically giving them another enticement because we're extending the dates out. We don't have to do it.
Yeah, we extend. Yeah,
we extend the same deal.
And then one of the other pieces was some of their equipment. Sure,
yeah, that's the whole thing.
We've done it before.
Well, I know we have.
Some of their equipment won't be here for 14 months anyway.
Yeah.
So even still, they won't be able to be operational before this actually, as it sits, kicks in. Yeah. So then they're paying taxes on, well, they wouldn't be paying. It would be abated.
Yeah. Okay, so this says base year means the tax year 2026. Mm-hmm. So no matter when they start construction, this is their base year. The value is...
It's going to extend the end of the abatement out if we do 18-month extension.
Yeah, because the 10-year abatement was intended at the end of 2035.
So maybe instead of saying base year means tax year 2026, the definition of base year needs to change to coincide with the year that construction actually begins. Mm-hmm.
It has changed that language because it used to say... kind of blanket statement, the January 1st immediately of the year immediately following the execution of this document.
Right.
But then it started getting kind of hairy because it's right. Like, well, somebody signs an agreement in October and then bam, January, their value starts. So right. Then that came into question with the CPChem agreement because they needed time for construction and they didn't want, you know, they wanted that cushion.
So why don't we go back to the table on this?
Okay.
Some summary of what we're doing.
Okay. Yeah, because I'm going to have, the whole concept of base year, tax year.
Being behind, and then the fact that, like I said, we've been no communication, and then boom, this all of a sudden. We've been trying to talk to them for how many months?
Yeah.
I know you have been.
Yeah, months.
And nothing. You know, and then all of a sudden, boom, they want to do this with really not a lot of help me understand why we're doing what we're doing.
Yeah.
Okay, so again, I'm okay with shifting the timeline, but I think that we are going to have to, I think we're going to have to change the definition of base year to make sure that we're covered for this. I'm just going to have to figure that out in my head.
Worth a shot.
I'll leave that one.
Okay, well then I'll post it for 30 more days.
All right, so we are still a no action on item number 29.
Okay.
And now we will go to item number 32, discussion and possible action regarding adjourning commissioner's courtroom.
Yeah, I
made
a motion.
I'm going to have a 1 and a 4 this time. Spread the wealth. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aha! Okay, thank you.
Any opposed? We are adjourned at 12:47.
Jeez,
I know. Jeez.
I'm going to go drink.
I'm going to go drink a lot.
I'm going to go buy a bag of Gordon's.
I need a beer. I don't know that.
You have fun with that.
You have.